Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search the Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Welcome back to the Pixie Dust Podcast. Annie Fry here as your host. I am so excited to be talking to you once again about my favorite topic to discuss, to think about, and that is planning a Walt Disney World vacation. My co-host, Erica Murphy with Magic Expeditions, joins me. Erica, welcome back. Always good to talk to you about Disney. Makes me smile.
Makes me smile and giggle.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. I mean, every episode starts out with Erica going, I gotta get myself together. This one is no exception. If you are interested in asking questions of any kind, there's no commitment whatsoever, or if you are interested in booking a vacation, a reminder that working with Erica Murphy at Magic Expeditions costs you literally no extra money. In fact, if there's an opportunity to save you money, Erica is going to know about it first, and she's going to be able to help you do that. I have booked vacations with Erica before I was a DVC member. I recommend her to all of my family. I trust all of my family and friends in Erica's hands, and you can email her right now at Erica@MagicExpeditions.com. That's E-R-I-K-A at MagicExpeditions.com. And introduce yourself, ask your questions, and you can start that conversation right there. She's a travel agent specializing in Disney vacations, earmarked by Disney, which signifies special recognition for knowledge and performance. And also a reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast anywhere you get podcasts. And if you'd like, you can also follow us on Facebook, the Pixie Dust Podcast page there. You can message the page with questions as well to contact us. So today's episode is Walt Disney World, events to know throughout the calendar year. Erica, well, I'm sure that one of the first questions that you have to deliberate with, or maybe people walk in and they know exactly what they want, somewhere in between there, of course. When do I go to Disney World? The timing throughout the year can make a big difference on the experience.
Absolutely. And, you know, Disney is an event just in itself. So just because you don't go over a holiday or one of these events, there's a parade every single day. There's fireworks every single day. So every day is like an event. But on top of that, they do have these really fun festivals in addition to everything else that's going on. So if you have some flexibility in your calendar, you know, a lot of people are dictated by work or school schedules, which absolutely are fine. But sometimes there's some additional fun things that are going on that you may like to see as well.
Yeah. And I love the way you put that, because maybe people might have their heart set on Christmas, and your thought of Christmas at Disney might be confined to a smaller amount of time than you can actually experience Christmas at Disney. And there are a lot of people, myself included, who are trying to find those short windows where, air quotes, nothing is going on to go. And then you go and you're like, how come you're here? There's nothing going on. Go home. I'm here. But it's kind of bobbing and weaving. And sometimes you're like, no, I want to be here for this really big event. I want to be a part of it. And having a travel agent who can help you navigate that is always helpful. So we're going to quickly breeze through the calendar year here, and I'm going to let Erica talk to you about some of the highlights that you might want to know if you're looking to plan a trip in that month. Let's start with January. Erica, what do people need to know about January?
Yeah, so January is has one of the biggest events at Walt Disney World. So New Year's Eve is definitely something to see at Walt Disney World. Annie and I have definitely watched it on our iPads at 11 o'clock Central Time. we could be in bed because it's incredible. But I would never personally go there just because all the crowds that are there. But they do have a big, huge, beautiful firework presentation that they go on to ring in the new year and start off the year right. And this last year, I'm sure if you've seen anything remotely about Disney or commercials or anything, you know that this has been the 50th anniversary of the Walt Disney World Resorts. And
it's been going on so long, it's almost the 55th.
It's almost coming to an end because it is going on right now, and it will run through March and, you know, have the 50th anniversary statues. It has, you know, my outfits that I'm so fond of.
They have their iridescent outfits.
Those will become. I'm excited to see what's next. Sad to see those go. But
I want the tuxedo and the red and white polka dot dress. Bring it back. I love it. It's classic. It's original.
It's classic.
Yeah. She didn't need to change. Yeah. Big fan of the red dress with the white polka dots. Just saying.
Yeah, but you can't be seen in the same outfit twice, Annie.
If you're Minnie Mouse, there's an exception that is made for you. Everybody wants to be that mouse. Is for sure.
I get it.
So yeah, the 50th anniversary started in on October 1st of 2021. Yeah, 2021, and it is going to end in March of 2023. So
2022. What's this? Where are we? 2023.
It's their last 21.
Yeah, 21. You're right.
Yeah, it's been going on forever. Yeah. So, but I mean, it's a big celebration, and they wanted to make it so that a lot of people could attend and be a part of it. Unfortunately, the timing was right after COVID, and so they had to pull a lot of things back. But it was very long, and it's almost over. But that makes room for more things. So, this year in January, you could still have celebrated. It won't be there next January.
It won't, this is something that has been a lot of people have talked about because there is some confusion about it, because this year you're going to start seeing it is the 100th anniversary of the Walt Disney World Company. So the company as a whole is turning 100 this year, and they did some sneak peeks at D23 where they announced some of the fun things that might be happening, but I don't know that we've really seen the full extent of what they have planned for this 100 year anniversary. So that's something to look forward to. Later this year, October 16th, actually, of this year, will be the 100th anniversary of the whole Walt Disney World Company.
So is there anything else in January that people should generally prepare for?
Yeah, so January, and I have this marked out in a couple other months too, but January 4th through the 8th is Disney has a program called Run Disney where they host marathons. It's marathon weekend. Sometimes they do half marathons, they do whole marathons, they do challenges to where you know, you could run all three. I don't know that life, but I could certainly help you if that's something that you're interested in. I'm like, you do enough walking at Disney. Who wants to go there voluntarily to run? Like
many people do.
Yes, it is a very, very, very busy weekend on those Run Disney weekends, which is why I wanted to point it out, because if you are one of those people that you have some flexibility and are looking to go when it may not be such a peak time, a marathon weekend would not necessarily be the weekend I would suggest.
Okay. Anything else for January, or should we move to February?
January also is when it's starting. A lot going on in January. It's when it starts Epcot's Festival of the Arts. So Epcot hosts different festivals throughout the year. And it's a lot of fun because if you know Epcot, they have the different pavilions with the different countries. But when they host these festivals, they have little kiosks that are in each one of the pavilions, and it goes along with the theme of that festival. So for Festival of the Arts, which is one of my favorite, because I know it's hard to believe that I'm a very dramatic Broadway theater person. I know it's shocking everyone, but they have, you know, Broadway-esque shows that are shown at the American Theater. They have, you know, big life-size interactive art installations that are set out through each one of the pavilions. And it's just everything they do is immersive. The food changes, the drinks change. So it's something that I think a lot of people sleep on Epcot. It's my favorite park, but it's a way that kind of changes the look and feel of Epcot throughout the year that kind of gives you some additional things to do.
Yeah, I've been to Festival of the Arts multiple times, and mostly because we always try to hit late January is one of those off-peak extended weekends that my husband and I might go by ourselves, or maybe meet up with my brother and sister-in-law who live in Florida, and we go like see each other and meet at Disney to do it. And the crowds are lower. It can be super cold, but it can also, I'm coming from the Midwest, it can also be, you know, 75 degrees, which feels super warm compared to the 20 degrees at home. But the Festival of the Arts, it's the International Festival of the Arts, and Disney people have dubbed it iFarts. And, you know, that we did a vocabulary episode before, and I didn't say that. But if somebody is at Disney World and saying iFarts, they might be just talking about the festival that's going on. Or maybe they could be talking about something else, and then I would just move along. But it is a really great hands-on opportunity for kids to participate in art-related things. They have chalk drawings that are so cool that are like 3D perspective. You're like looking at the stuff going, I can't even believe this is real. So of all of the festivals, I really, really enjoy the Festival of the Arts. And it is also, I believe, their shortest festival.
Yeah.
So, and it goes into February.
It does. February 20th.
What else in February should people know about?
So there's another marathon weekend. So February 23rd through 26th, another Run Disney marathon. And this is the Princess Half Marathon. And I will say the only thing that really excites me about these marathon weekends is just that there's a lot of characters that you can meet on these runs. You literally run through the park. So it's a very early morning. People dress up. So the Princess Marathon, you'll see a lot of princesses out there, and you run through the parks and do the marathon, and each one of the mile checks, there's different characters and bands and stuff, so it is kind of fun. But there's another marathon weekend in late February.
I long to be one of those people. I respect them so incredibly much. I would like to try to be one of those people. Unfortunately, I have not been able to. I am a couch to 5K-er on my phone, which is basically an app that is there to designed to get you off the couch.
Yeah.
So marathon is not quite in my sights yet, but maybe one day. Maybe that'll be a. Maybe that'll be a when I turn 40 goal or something crazy like that.
I will say the owners of our agency, he is a marathon runner and a huge advocate for Run Disney. So he just did the Dopey Challenge where you do I think it's like a 5K, half marathon, full marathon, like in one weekend. And then you get another trophy. It's a whole thing. And you get these big medals. But he's very much into it. So if anybody's interested in Run Disney, you know, it's a whole nother following. But I had asked them, can you walk these? Because like, what if I just want to like get into Magic Kingdom at 5 a.m.? And you can, but apparently they have balloon girls that walk the back. And it's like, if you have to go faster than the balloon girls. So if you get like,
you need to apply to be a balloon girl.
Oh my gosh, that's brilliant. Yeah.
This is the solution here.
And then just take your time, you know.
This country has a very interesting take on balloons right now. Just make sure you got the right one.
Same. Anyway. It's good.
Just dip into my day job a little bit. So tell me a little bit more about February. Is there anything else that people need to understand about that month? I mean, to me, it's a great month to get away. If you're not living in the South, where, and I'm talking all weather here because the South is beautiful and we're all thinking about being there in February, from the Midwest where we can have a February day where it's 68 degrees and the next day it's 15 and sleeting and icing and stuff. February is a great time in my mind to get away to Disney.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, as you go through, some of the holidays that you don't necessarily think about tend to be more peak time. So like President's Day, that's in February. We went one year over President's Day weekend. And I remember thinking like, it's February, it's going to be low peak. And it was great. And then it was like somebody turned on a fire hose. And I'm like, what the heck are all these people doing here?
Everywhere.
And it was because it was President's Day. And so, you know, don't not pay attention to Memorial Day, President's Day, not just the big Christmas, New Year's holidays, smaller holidays? Is it just smaller?
Yeah, it depends. But I mean, I've been on Labor Day before, and we were going thinking, man, I hope that this isn't a mistake. And I have never gone to Disney World and thought it was a mistake, ever. Yeah. Not a single time. And if the crowds are busy, if it's your like once in a lifetime trip, or if it's a big family trip and you're trying to get everybody, I can understand navigating around some of these bigger things. But if you're just trying to plan like a four night, three night getaway on the weekend, and you can do that because I'm married to a teacher, so I understand the plight of not being able to just pick up, like, oh, just take a vacation day. They don't have vacation. Well, they do. Yeah. They're all summer, which is when everybody else is there. So the President's Day can be an incredibly busy. Actually, this President's Day weekend at Disney World was the first. For 2 days, they sold out of Genie Plus access, and that had never happened before. It did. And I'm always thinking to myself, did they pull back on it a little bit? Did they want to sell out to make it seem like it was more of a commodity that people needed to grab? So I'm always super skeptical on all of those things, but it did sell out, and the crowds were, I would check the wait times. They were pretty busy. So, but if you can get away on President's Day weekend, I'd still say go to Disney.
100%. Absolutely. And you can go see Festival of the Arts.
Of course. other than anything else in Feb?
Valentine's Day. Yeah, that's my favorite holiday.
March?
March is going to put us into the next festival, which is the Flower and Garden Festival, which is one of the longest running festivals that they have. So it'll go spring through early summer, typically through July. And it is really cool. I'm not a big gardener. It's funny. One of my pregnancy announcements was, you know, the year I grew a human but killed the plant, because if you look, I have an aloe plant that just isn't doing very well because I do not have a green thumb. It's
like they're supposed to survive like nuclear winter.
Yeah, not Erica Murphy. Succulents, don't you worry about it. However, the topiaries at the Flower and Garden Festival are unbelievable. They have like, they make them into characters. Yeah. Like it, and it looks like, you know, Snow White and Daisy is made out of daisies. And it's, you know, I definitely, even though I'm not, don't have a green thumb, I definitely have an appreciation for the topiaries. And it's the whole festival. It's the same thing. They'll have different foods and beverages that kind of go along with the theming. And they have different, you know, plants.
Mm-hmm.
I really like.
My mom is a master gardener, and she was able to go for Flower and Garden the last time we were there, and it was pretty cool to see her see all this stuff. I mean, she understood it on, like, you know, she knows the Latin names of words. I don't. I'm like, white flower. Oh, daisy. Oh, I see. But she, you know, she had great respect for, because Disney does so many things when it comes to sustainability and like utilizing things that they're just throughout the park. There's such a connectivity to everything that they do, and their flowers and everything are definitely part of that. March also is potentially a spring break. I mean, it's a spring break for colleges, but it potentially also could be, you know, what Holy Week would be. And a lot of schools get off some days leading into Easter, maybe Easter Monday. So if Easter falls in March, you might find a higher travel time during that as well.
Yeah. And we do have, you know, with as many Disney nerds that are out there, there are crowd calendars that, you know, that's kind of our best estimated guess based on previous crowd levels, what we anticipate being, you know, peak seasons, who has the most spring break, that kind of thing. So that information is out there. Of course, it's, you know, nothing's going to be 100% accurate because we don't know, you know, we didn't know what 2020 was going to bring. But, you know, it's a good guess of what the best peak and off-peak season will be.
Anything else in March?
No, but April.
Let's
get a doozy.
The best month in the entire calendar. Guess when my birthday is? It's April.
We have some doozies in April, and probably one of the most anticipated, and I think that people are going to think I'm going to say this, but my most anticipated is the return
of Happily Ever After. Yes.
And I'm going to cry just thinking about it. I mean, Tron. No. Happily Ever After is returning April 3rd, and I could just hear those first little melodies, and my eyes are going to well up with tears. But
I'm going to admit something. Not tonight, because I've been recording this, but the two nights leading into this recording, my family watched Happily Ever After on YouTube. And it's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
And they haven't said specifically yet what the full context of the show is going to be. Happily Ever After, the song, is going to be part of it again, but they definitely refer to it as an updated version.
Yeah.
So I hope they don't take too many liberties, but it would be kind of neat to put some new upgrades into it and stuff. But
yeah,
very excited.
I am drawing a blank of what his name is that sings Jordan. I can't think of what his name is, but he has gone out. He's doing
it
again.
Jordan Walker, but I think he's a prospect for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, spirit jersey. No, I can't think of what his name is, but he has come out and said, like, he's doing the song again. So I'm hoping that it has that same feel, the same everything that kind of goes into having
Jordan Fisher.
Jordan Fisher, thank you. Have that happily ever. It's hands down, and I've been going to Disney my entire life. It's my favorite show, and I'm so glad it's returning.
I completely second that. It is going to make so many people happy. And yeah. When they came out with their 150th show, I would say that the show that they came out with was a really, really cool show. They should have shown that one first and then had a second showing of Happily Ever After afterwards.
Yes.
That's how that should have gone down. Because the one that they put in was not good enough to replace Happily Ever After. And them bringing it back is a testament to how many people loved it because people were demanding it.
Yeah.
So April Tron.
And then Tron. They also have a really fun Easter experience at Grand Floridian. They do the Fabergé eggs, and it is beautiful. And one of the things that I love about it is that just because you're not staying at Grand Floridian doesn't mean that you can't go there and see them. So they definitely have a big egg exhibit, which is really fun if you have, you know, looking for a little break from your Magic Kingdom day. It's kind of fun just to hop on the monorail and go over and see that.
I also researched this. I think it was last year. But they do hold a worship service, and I think for Easter, I don't know that it's not necessarily every Sunday, but for Easter, I want to say that one was at Contemporary, which is where they have a lot of conference areas, but from what I understand, I don't remember like what denomination it was or anything, but I do remember finding out, oh, they do offer that. So if that is your thing and you're going to be, my family, we've looked at, should we go on a trip for Easter? It's important for us to be home and do the Easter thing and the holiday thing and the church thing for my family. That might not be yours, but we've kind of thought about it, and I looked into it, and I thought that's really cool that they do offer that for the people who might be interested in celebrating Easter in that way while they're at the Disney trip.
Yeah.
April, anything else?
There is another marathon. It is a springtime.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Prize, so that's going to be April 13th through 16th, and then at the end of April, it's not a lot of people know about it, but it's called Dapper Days, and there's a whole following, and I absolutely, because you know, again, me and the wardrobe, I love it, but it is Disney bounding, which is where you go dressed as one of your favorite characters, and at Disney, you know, the kids, of course, can dress in the costumes and all that. Obviously, they don't want adults dressing in full-length costumes like that because they don't want us to look like, you know, people to think that we're a Disney character. So they do what's called Disney bounding, where you might wear, you know, like a blue dress that kind of looks like an apron, and just kind of go more where it looks like something that Belle would wear on a normal day. And at Dapper Days is just that to the next level. So you'll see, you know, your tuxedos and a lot of your suits and dresses and, you know, bonnets. And it's just kind of cool to see the pictures and what people kind of come up with Disney bounding for the Dapper Days. So if you're interested, April 29th and 30th.
Awesome. How about May? I'm going to be going in May of 2023 with some coworkers. It's going to be ridiculous. And
yeah.
I do know this is something that might be any given time that you go, that there is a cheerleading competition.
I have that written down.
Do you really? Yeah. Is it that first weekend in May?
Yes.
And is it like ridiculously huge?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to brace myself for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you what, we went in the end of January one time and we thought it was going to be super slow, and they were having an HVAC convention there, and there were a bunch of heating and air conditioning people all over the place. We kept running into them. So you, any given time you're there, there might be a big tournament, competition, convention or something that's going on. So you can't really avoid that. But cheerleading competition in May. Are they other times other than May, or did I just pick the one weekend?
Yeah, no, they're definitely. There was one that was just there in February, too. And kind of a fun thing, I don't know if you've ever ridden Expedition Everest and notice all the hair ties that are on there. You know, I'm a big Disney nerd, and every time I go, I'm like, what are these? So I finally Googled it. It's the cheerleaders. That's what they, whenever they go there for the competitions, it's their thing to, like, release the
hair ties at the top of Expedition Everest.
So next time you're there. Yeah, yeah, pay attention. They're everywhere.
What else in May that people might need to know about?
Memorial Day. So that's another weekend that might be a little bit more crowded, just with a lot of locals and people that are able to go. So just kind of thinking, if you're going on, you know, an off-peak time, that might not necessarily be a time that you would want to pick. And then the Flower and Garden Festival is still going on.
Okay. How about June?
I mean, I think it's the best month because, again, it's my birthday.
Yes.
It's a big one this year. It's a big one. But
are you going to be 40?
I mean, I'm debating if I want to tell people that.
Okay. Then never mind.
I am. I definitely am.
You'll make it.
Yeah. No, I'm excited. 40 is the new 30, 20? I don't know.
It's not. I'm 38 and it's not as bad as people have made it out to be getting this far. So.
I'm excited about it, but
birthday month of June,
not much going on. So maybe I should go to Disney
for sure.
So just the Flower and Garden Festival going on in June.
I think the beginning of June, they also have Gay Days, which is a pride thing that they have there. It's a big, Disney is very invested in that. If you are interested in that, knowing when that is, to schedule. So other than that, June does seem like a quieter month. And I think that if you're looking to go, that is a summer month, probably the best school's out time to go is that mid-June, late June.
Yeah.
Let's move to July, July 4th. Do they do anything for July 4th?
I mean, just a little something. They do a huge fireworks, which that's one of the ones that I'm like, I do kind of want to see that just because, you know.
America.
I love it. I love it. Like, it goosebumps just thinking about it. But then also I'm like, yeah, I could just watch it on my iPad too.
True.
Okay. But yes, they go all out, have a huge, huge fireworks spectacular for 4th of July.
Anything else throughout July? You said the Flower and Garden Festival goes into July.
Yeah. So it goes in, it's typically, so that goes to July 5th. And then it hasn't been released yet, but the last couple years, Food and Wine has started in July. So that was something that had previously just been in the fall. They kind of opened it up to early summer. So we're thinking they'll probably do that again this year. But if not, Food and Wine Festival, which is another one of my favorite festivals at Epcot, because they have, again, all the pavilions have kiosks that have different culinary arts. It's to celebrate the culinary arts of food and wine, and it has some of the best James Beard award-winning chefs in one place, and you can literally just walk around and sample all of these amazing foods. So, and that typically runs through November, so that's another long one that'll be
long.
July through November, but it's because it's so amazing.
Of course, and they also have kind of phases and waves of the festival where they'll have booths that open up at the beginning, and they'll have other booths that might not open up until late September or October in the festival. So they do try to keep it fresh throughout, even though it is a pretty lengthy festival. Mm-hmm. July, of course, also school's out. That's worth mentioning. You'll have crowds and it'll also be hot. And yeah. I mean, it's Florida, but July is hot and sweaty and humid. Yeah. I'm from the Midwest, and the particular part of the Midwest in St. Louis that we're from. Honestly, the humidity and the heat can be worse in St. Louis than it is in Florida on any given day. So I feel like I'm kind of like made for it. But if you are not from that area, that can be kind of a shocking thing to take on.
Yeah.
August.
So again, it hasn't been released yet, but August is typically when the not so scary Halloween party starts. And this is a paid ticket into Magic Kingdom, where they do close the park early. So if you do not have a ticket, you will be asked to leave. You do not need a Magic Kingdom ticket to enter it. So you could just have, you know, a resort day and then do the not so scary Halloween party. And it's a lot of fun because costumes, wardrobe, but you get to trick or treat throughout the Magic Kingdom. But in my opinion, the best part of this is that because it is only open to ticketed event, the wait times are practically non-existent. So you have the ability to go in. The kids can dress up in their Halloween costumes. You go in, you can ride.
Adults can dress up too.
Oh yeah,
there are certain restrictions, like you can't wear full face covering masks and stuff like that. And you can check out the rules on the website, but everybody can get into it if that's your thing.
Yeah. And then you can ride the attractions with little to no wait times. There's a special fireworks show, and there's a special parade, which has one of the coolest things that I've ever seen, because the gravediggers are definitely worth the ticket because they're very cool.
Yeah. And I think it's important for people to understand too that I was there in 2022, the summer of 22, and we often will travel where we show up in the whatever that kind of last weekend is in July, and we stay into that first week of August. And we were in Magic Kingdom the last day of July, and then we went back the next day in the morning, and there were fall decorations up.
Yeah.
In August.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's funny because you're there on your summer break and you're thinking, you know, school is out, summer's still in. You're kind of starting to let that school back in session thing creep into your brain. But you show up and they're like pumpkins and leaves and everything. And it's kind of like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing here. And then they will progressively put in more Halloween type of stuff as it continues on.
I don't know. I mean, if I'm definitely the type of person where I like to peel back the magic and kind of see behind the curtain and like how they do things. If you're not, you know, that's absolutely okay. But if you are like me, and if you have Disney Plus, there's a really cool series called Decorating Disney. And it is kind of a behind the scenes look of how they do that. And they literally flip it overnight to where you leave the park and it's one way and you arrive the next day and it's another way. And they do that for Christmas too. And it's just, it's incredible, you know, what these Imagineers and how these cast members kind of think and are able to execute such a high level in such a quick turnaround. So if you're interested, that's definitely worth a watch.
So August is also, I think Florida schools go back earlier in August than at least the Midwest. Of course, across the country, different schools. Some people might wait until after Labor Day. Some people are going back early in August. But depending, I always encourage people, if they're talking about when to go, if they're on a standard summer schedule, to kind of research a little bit about when Florida's going back to school, and then also research, you know, of course, if you're trying to modify or to work with your own back to school schedules, you can squeeze in a first or second week trip to Disney World and potentially get lower wait times. The other thing to mention, and I'll mention this as we, unless you have anything else about August, to move into September, is you're in hurricane season then. Yeah. And that kind of is its own ball of wax. So if you want to talk a little bit about experience booking travel during those times.
Yeah. And this is one of the things that I always say, and I use this hurricane season as an example too, of why you should work with an agent. Just because when you work with an agent, we can either do as much or as little as you want. So if you want us to help you plan, pick when to go, navigate all the reservations and all that, we could certainly do that. If you're an expert and like to do it yourself, which some people do, you know, I definitely recommend using an agent for the what you hope you won't ever need. And that would be if something like this were to happen. So, you know, we have worked with obviously a handful of hurricanes where Disney has actually had to shut down property or kind of navigated what the storm system is going to look like. And instead of you frantically trying to navigate and figure this out, you could just call your agent and we do that for you. And, you know, whether it's rescheduling or, you know, figuring out different flights or whatever that may be, you know, we're there as kind of an insurance plan. And I mean, it's Florida. It's going to rain every single day that you're there, typically for 10 minutes, an hour, you know, whatever that is. So, you know, I always say prepare for the rain, but especially during hurricane season, you know, just kind of have that in the back of your mind that if there is something that were to happen, you know, that's something that we help deal with.
I remember you being on the phone. I think it was you were telling me about how you can get on the phone to talk to people at Disney for your clients, and other people were having to get in line for themselves.
Yeah.
And the amount of time you were able to save people from not having to go through that, and the amount of stress. Oh my gosh. I just can't, like, just if you're interested, reach out to Erica. You can reach her at E-R-I-K-A. That's Erica at magicexpeditions.com. Ask any questions that you might have. Now, there's always kind of it's like a double-edged sword. There's a plus and a minus to that. It's hurricane season. Well, that means that it might be a little riskier to book at that time. Disney knows that. And the crowds are lower because school is back in session in September. Erica, a lot of times the prices are a little more attractive during those times. Offers might come out to book. What do people need to know about traveling in September?
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen that this year with the new park tickets that Disney has released, where they're now doing pricing based on peak and off-peak season. So, you know, the price is not the same throughout the year. So you'll see the pricing, you know, go down in September. It's also not unheard of for them to release a last minute promotion, whether it's a room discount or, you know, dining hasn't returned yet as of, you know, February 2023 that we're talking right now. But, you know, if next September, maybe it is back and maybe they're releasing a promo just to try and fill those rooms. That's definitely something that they've done in the past as well.
So if you're interested in learning about those things, of course, contact Erica. You can also reach out to us on the Pixie Dust podcast Facebook page and just message the page. It goes to Erica and to me. We can answer any of your questions that you might have there, any thoughts you have on this podcast, of course. September, anything else to mention there? I mean, it's kind of a more quiet month.
It is. Again, kind of going with the whole, if you like to see behind the magic, September 8th through 10th is D23, which is Disney's kind of, I guess, geek club. That it is going to be where they are going to give all of the updates. That's when we found out about Galaxy's Edge. That's where we found out about, you know, some of the new live action, you know, Little Mermaid that's coming out. We've gotten sneak peeks of all these. So it's kind of Disney's way of giving you a sneak peek of what's coming next. And it's a huge, huge event. You'll see a ton of teasers on YouTube and, you know, even TikToks of, you know, coming out and saying what's next. So I always like to look for that weekend, September 8th to 10th, just seeing what's coming, what's next. So that'll be that weekend.
Sounds good. And, you know, if you're looking at like any of these things, you might hear, oh, they have a race. That's awesome. I want to participate in the race. Or you might hear, oh my gosh, I don't want to be anywhere near that. So any of these things could be the thing that makes you go, that's exactly when I want to book my vacation. And then the other people out there going, I am going to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah.
October is always a very busy month at Disney World. A lot of the things that we've already mentioned really kind of ramp up and culminate in October. Erica, what do you want people to know about that time?
Yeah, same. I mean, not so scary Halloween party. And I know a lot of people, especially the locals, will want to go and actually be there on Halloween to trick or treat because they do the whole thing. They do sell out. So if that is something that you are interested in, I definitely recommend booking as soon as they come out, because those, especially the closer that you get to Halloween, those
are
going to
book
more
expensive.
If you
can go to a Halloween party in mid-August, which is like, whoa, Andy, slow down now. That seems a little aggressive, but you can save a lot of money to do it. And when you're there at Disney and you're dressing up with your kids and they're running around trick-or-treating at Disney World, it might as well be October 31st.
Yeah.
So if you want to save a little money and go earlier because you want that experience, or if you're the type of person who wants to be as close to the day itself, definitely book those earlier. Can you book those for people?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Perfect.
And I can let you know, when they're coming out too. So I have wait list of everything that hasn't come out yet, if anybody that's interested. So that way, as soon as I get the update at 4 o'clock in the morning, whenever that comes out, I can let you know and immediately get you those tickets. So that instead of being reactive and when there's a chance that your dates might be gone.
Yeah. Awesome. October is still food and wine.
Yep.
Anything else that's a major deal?
It's also that 100th anniversary that I was talking about when we first started. So we don't really have a whole lot of information of what they have planned for that, but I would anticipate them to do, you know, something significant for the 100th anniversary.
And also, I think it's always important to acknowledge, like you were saying earlier, President's Day weekend. Mm-hmm. Here we, you know, Columbus Day is something that a lot of people across the country celebrate. That is a Monday that would be off. My family, every year, we're like, can we get away? Can we get away? Can we get away? And it's been less and less easy to do that with my kids and their schedules these days, but we're always trying, and so are a lot of other people. So again, I'm going to tell you, especially with my family, if we can get away, we are getting away. Mm-hmm. Don't not go because you hear someone say it's going to be busy. It's Disney World.
Yeah.
It's busy.
Yeah.
Go and have a magical time.
Absolutely.
All right. Anything else in October?
Nope.
Well, a couple months left here in the calendar, and mm-hmm. November is an exciting month at Disney World. It's a transitional month, and that November 1st day, Halloween, October 31st, Disney does Halloween up really big. November 1st, you walk into the park, it's going to look pretty different.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And again, that decorating Disney kind of shows how they do that, which is really cool. But I mean, Christmas time at Disney is... I can't even explain how incredible it is with everything that they do. I mean, everything that they do just on a day-to-day is extraordinary. And then when you throw in a holiday like that, I mean, you're talking 20-foot Christmas trees right when you first get off of Main. And, you know, they're piping in smells of sugar and hot chocolate and, you know, just kind of really, it just really makes you feel in the Christmas spirit. And it's November 1st. All the things. I love it. You know, they have the garland that's going down Main Street and just really, really, you know, just do it up. And what's kind of cool about going at that particular week, too, is if you are split, if you want to see the Halloween decorations or the Christmas decorations, you could very easily see both. So
you can take a 2-day trip and see both.
Exactly.
And they'll elaborate a little bit as the season goes on from time to time. Some things might take a little bit longer. I think last Christmas, they didn't get the Christmas tree up on November 1st, and everyone showed up and they're like, hey, wait a second, where's the Christmas tree? I don't know that that's going to be the thing in the future, but it will kind of evolve and grow potentially over the course of the season. Mm-hmm. And as you go through November, of course, there's Veterans Day, and depending on when November 11th falls, that can create an opportunity for people to make those long weekends or to take mm-hmm. those trips. We have traveled over that weekend as well. I think it was in 2021. I think Veterans Day was on a Thursday, and they decided to give my husband, he's a public school teacher, as I've mentioned before, it was like 2 weeks out, and they said, you know what, we're going to cancel Friday. We're going to do an improvement day or something like that. And so he didn't have to go to work on Friday. And I quick looked and there was some availability and we booked it and we went. It was like a 3 weeks out decision. And so glad we did it. Lots of people there. So glad we did it.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing, that if you have that opportunity, no matter what, you know, do it. I have somebody that I'm working with right now that she wants to go next month in March, which is spring break and busy. But, you know, her daughter's going there she's going to be down there for business. So she has an opportunity to go down and surprise her with a 2-day trip. And that's what they're doing. And I guarantee they will remember that trip for the rest of their life. Yeah. So, you know, it's amazing.
Thanksgiving.
Also in November, early in November, typically they have the Wine and Dine, which is another marathon weekend. So that's typically, they have it slated as November 2nd through 5th. And then Thanksgiving is also that week of Thanksgiving. It's a very, very, very busy week. A lot of people are off. They want to see the Christmas decorations and you want to spend the holiday there. But if you want to go for the holiday feel, you know, the first couple weeks in November, you know, that week before Thanksgiving is one of the best to go, because it's going to be low peak. You're going to get the holiday feel without the crowds.
Yeah, definitely. So November wraps up, food and wine wraps up in Is it mid-November, early November?
Yeah, it's typically early, mid-November. You know, like it's typically around like the 15th, somewhere around then. But that's also typically early November is when the Christmas party starts. So it's kind of the same feel of the Halloween party, where it's a ticketed event. Only people that are ticketed can get in. Low wait time, special parade, hot chocolate and cookies, you know, special fireworks. It's a really cool ticketed event as well.
All right. So moving into December then, that last month of the year.
Yeah.
Certainly we've been building up to this as we've walked through the year. This Christmas experience at Disney World is a magnificent one. I really enjoy the beginning of those December months because it's Christmas time, but it's not like vacation Christmas time for most of the people in the country. So you can really have a good experience there. What do people need to know about early December?
So early December, again, is one of my absolute favorite times to go. Epcot typically has a Festival of the Holidays, which, again, kind of going along with the same Epcot festival, only it's going to give you the perspective of each of the pavilions and how they celebrate the holidays. So, you know, in France, you'll see, you know, the Papa Noel that'll come out and explain the Yule log and kind of the different traditions from the different perspective countries, which I think is really cool. They have the different food and the different beverages that kind of go along with that as well. And not only at Epcot or the parks, that each one of the resorts, they have done up with, you know, the most magnificent Christmas trees you'll ever see. They changed the music. We stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge 1 year for Christmas, and even the music, it's in the African language, but it's like, you know, Oh Holy Night, but, you know, in the African language. It's so cool. And like some of the things that you don't even, you know, think that they're doing that they took care of. And they have, a lot of people will do like a Christmas tree tour to where if you just have like a resort day, you just resort hop and just look at all the different Christmas decorations. And the Grand Floridian every single year does a life-size gingerbread house. And they go through and they show you exactly, like, you know, how much flour, how much sugar, how much cocoa they use for each one. And you can actually buy the gingerbread there as well. But it's something to look forward to every year, because as soon as you step foot in the Grand Floridian, you immediately smell that gingerbread house. And it's just like, oh, it's Christmas.
Yes. Fantastic. I'll add, too, that my family has been over the course, it's kind of what I make my souvenir be when I go to Disney at this point is a Christmas thing. So we have a Disney Christmas room, and it's probably going to bleed out of that room into more things. Let's be real. But we have the Disney train. We have a Disney train set. And then this year, Santa Claus somehow managed to get the monorail set to the kiddos. So we have the train right now has been set up on our piano. So we have a baby grand piano. So we close the lid, set the piano up in there on some snow and stuff. And then we put little like ornaments that look like different places in Magic Kingdom. And I let the kids decorate. I'm always like, that shouldn't be there. That should be there. And I'm like, just leave it be. Let them do what they want. They're having fun. They have Disney Lego sets. So there's like, here's a castle that they have an ornament. And then here's Baby Yoda, but he's four times the size of the castle. But he's standing there, standing guard over the whole domain. Mm-hmm. But they have a Christmas shop in Magic Kingdom 24 hours a day, but at least every day of the year and when they're open. And so you can go into the Christmas shop. It's in Liberty Square, and you can always shop for Christmas things there. And I just, that's kind of a little bit of a hidden gem tucked away in Liberty Square that's kind of easy to miss if you don't know it's there. Mm-hmm. But they have really, really great stuff. I got you a Peter Pan ornament from that store.
Yep, Tinkerbell.
And it took me like a year to get it to you.
Yeah.
It's a whole pandemic and everything.
Yeah. Babies. There's a lot going on that year.
For sure. Us and everybody else included. Yeah. So there's a lot. There's Christmas parties. The Very Merry Christmas Party in Magic Kingdom is going on there. You mentioned the Festival of Holidays that's at Epcot. And what else do people need to know about that time?
I mean, just again, it's going to be one of the busiest times to go. So if that is time that you're thinking about going, you know, that's one of those times that you would want to book sooner rather than later, because those reservations are going to book up pretty quickly. So,
yeah. All right. Well, that is a walk through the entire year. Erica, is there anything you feel like maybe we overlooked or that you want to highlight before we wrap this up?
No, and that's what I mean. I know I keep saying this over and over again, but just the advantages of working with an agent, because each one of these events, you know, it's going to be different for every single family, for every single trip. It's going to vary. So really working with an agent that's going to be able to help you tailor your trip to what your family needs and, you know, what you're hoping to get for out of your vacation is going to be the best, because, you know, we could go through this whole calendar and, you know, it might not make sense at first, but once you start narrowing it down and talking about your kids and what they have going on and what interests them, you know, really being able to maximize that vacation, a travel agent is going to be able to help you do that.
100%. If you are interested in contacting Erica, you can reach her at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, Erica at MagicExpeditions.com. Erica is a travel agent specializing in Disney vacations with Magic Expeditions. Magic Expeditions is earmarked by Disney, which means that they have received that special recognition for their knowledge and their performance in helping people exactly like you plan your vacations, just answer your questions. And a reminder, I think this is important because I'm always skeptical of everything. You don't pay Erica anything. She makes her money by being paid from Disney specifically. Mm-hmm. So it's if you work with her, it's not going to cost you more. It's actually, in my opinion, going to save you money. So it's Erica at MagicExpeditions.com, E-R-I-K-A at MagicExpeditions.com. Also, the Pixie Dust Podcast Facebook page is live. You can follow us there, comment on any of the posts. Erica usually posts these episodes there in case you want to know when we have new ones. Of course, you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts from. And you can email or message us, I should say, through the Facebook page if you would like to reach out and ask a question of us, just by going to the Pixie Dust Podcast Facebook page and sending us a message. Erica, anything else before we put a bow on this episode?
No, I think you know, the holidays are my, I'm a holidayrian, so I love all the holidays.
The holidays and the wardrobes.
It's good to go. Yep.
All right. Well, this has been a podcast episode from the Pixie Dust Podcast on Walt Disney World events to know throughout the calendar year. We're grateful that you spent some of your time with us. And until next time, we'll see you real soon.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.